Let me speak to Malachy O'Doherty, who's just a social commentator this morning.
Call me what you like.
Malachy, I would have liked to have talked to you specifically about Botanic Estuary. We can't do that because there's no charges. But when we look around on Facebook, when we look at social media, people are really keen to film anything they see. It's understandable. And they are spoilt for choice, aren't they? Because there's a lot of madness out there when the sun shines.
I did a wee research project recently. I was looking for humour in photographs. So I went onto YouTube and I looked up this theme, humour in photographs. And what I got, you know, was not what I was looking for. I was looking for a good picture that would be a joke in itself. What I got was mountains of slapstick, of people falling flat on their faces, people coming off the road in a car incident, people falling out of a tree. Thing where somebody is humiliated by either by an accident or by the way they're treated by other people. And there just seems to be an enormous appetite for capturing those images and putting them out. Now, the other side of that is that where an image is capturing a criminal offence, which happens, you know, then that is good in a sense. There's a positive side to that. It provides evidence which will facilitate a prosecution. But it also is a kind of a warning to anybody who's inclined to do something in a public place, some criminal or violent act. They're always spotted. You know, there's always going to be somebody there with a camera, and you can be caught. So we have lost our privacy in some kinds of in ways. But we also, you know, have created this whole new medium which can provide evidence for the police and provides for a kind of restraint on behaviour, or should provide restraint on behaviour in public places.
We really should take it for granted if we're doing something that is going to embarrass us or doing something that's breaking the law. We're most likely in this day and age being filmed, and the people who are doing the filming will be absolutely keen to be the first to post it, to have it up there.
They will, yes, yeah. And the hits skyrocket, don't they? I mean, they go up into the tens of thousands very quickly. The other corollary of that, Frank, is that if you want to be public, and if you want to be seen doing something outrageous, I'm thinking of the guys who killed the soldier with knives on the streets of London at Woolwich, you know, and attacked him and with knives, and then just turned around with blood on their hands to give a press conference on the street, you know, because they knew they didn't have to phone the BBC or UTV or independent television and ask them to get a camera crew down there. There's a camera crew available. You can perform to a public audience if you are outrageous enough. So there's the other side of it as well, you know, that there is this window on all our behaviours, and if we choose to be outrageous, and if we seek attention, then it's quite easy to get that attention.
And every Tom, Dick and Harry has access to the camera, and in a few moments we're going to be talking about road safety and about road rage. Yeah. And this is the other developing industry, the dash cam. I have to be honest, I you know, we're all road users, and sometimes we get annoyed, narked by maybe the guy in front of us who is asleep at the wheel or whatever, and you give him a beep of the horn and he moves on because he's been sitting for 10 seconds through a green light. Sometimes people don't like that. I had an example of that very recently myself, where we came to a junction, a guy was in front of me, and he stopped at the green light, and he sat through the green light, but there was an excuse for it because the rest of the junction was quite busy. So I gave him the benefit of the doubt, and we sat the whole way through another set of red lights, and then they went green again, and the traffic had eased up, not to a great extent, but it had eased up. But he was prepared to sit through them once more. And I just tooted my horn.
You were furious, weren't you?
Well, I did toot my horn to say, you know, at least negotiate your way out. We're not going to sit through green lights while the traffic...
Well, he might have had a camera on you.
But this is it. This is what
catching
I was...
your rage,
this
you
is
know?
What I was thinking. I was thinking to myself, you know, right, I've tooted my horn, but I'm not going to involve myself in any exchange with this bloke. As he opened his door, now sitting at the green light, he was opening the door for getting out of the car. And I was getting into arm-folding mode,
right,
whereby... I'm presuming he's got a camera on his lapel. You've got to think like that, don't you?
You do have to think about it. I mean, cyclists are doing this a lot. You will see cyclists around town, and if you see a little protrudence at the top of their helmet, it's very likely, it could be a lamp, it could be a wee light, but if it's daytime, it's very likely to be a camera. They're so small now. There's this little thing that they use a lot called the GoPro, and you can clip it onto your helmet, you can clip it onto your handlebars. And cyclists are using it in that very conscientious way to catch drivers who cut across them, to catch abusive road work users, hoping that they'll be safe because people will see they have it. I'm more likely hoping that if they're not safe, that if somebody offends against them or cuts across them, they will have that evidence for them. And you will see this, that cyclists do this. They post up these little video clips of people parking on a cycle lane, you know, not such a great offence, but people cutting across them or opening a door in front of them. And there's loads of videos on the internet of people actually tumbling off the bike, you know, from the perspective of the cyclist. So you're watching it and you're weaving along a road or down a cycle lane, and suddenly, whoop, you know, even watching it, you have that sensation almost of being in the air. And kind of, I think that's quite a good thing. You know, I don't do it myself, but I've been tempted to do it. And I do think, we are just becoming more acquainted with the broadcast skills in the way that we previously were more acquainted with text and writing. And there's another thing we could give off about is the decline in the quality of writing as people become more familiar with photography and video.
Absolutely. And one other more serious thing is the presence of what may be spice on the streets of Belfast. I'm not sure if it's here or not. It's a plague in Manchester. I saw a guy this morning and, you know, if I had the dash cam on my car, which I don't, I would have filmed him. Would I have broadcast it? I simply don't know. I would like to think that I wouldn't, but maybe I could have shown it to some agency or group that could help the guy. But yeah, he was causing mayhem in the traffic by simply walking in the middle of the road. And he didn't seem drunk to me, or he didn't seem like someone who was high. Yeah. He just seemed like in a zombie state. That's the sort of thing that people do film. And, of course, there's loads of that on YouTube as well, particularly in Manchester. When it's shown on the news, the faces of the poor victim of the drug is blanked out. But when it's shown on YouTube or on Facebook, well, they're exposed and they're embarrassed, I'm sure.
Yeah, what are you doing for somebody when you do that? You know, are you making life unbearable for them because an image of them in that state? You can imagine, this never happens as much as it used to in the old days, but you must remember the office Christmas party when we all got completely wasted and out of our faces. And if you'd imagine, you know, that you were coming out of the building and it's, you know, the 17th of December and you're aglow and wobbling a bit, you know, if somebody caught a bit of video of that and that's there for you to see, you know, 10, 20 years later, you'd be very, very, conscious of that. You know, you'd be very unsettled by it.
On the subject of the Christmas party, when I was at ours this year, people who weren't at our party, who were in the club and the environment that we were in, came up to me, as they do in this day and age. And, you know, I love it. If people come up and say, Frank and I'll selfie for show it to my granny, you know, that sort of way. I love that.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of people came over to me and they were like sort of a lingering selfie. It seemed to go on for forever. And I was saying, what exactly,
is
this? And they say, you're live on Facebook, you know, so... Like, they were actually broadcasting live on Facebook at the time. Like, if you were along with a fancy bit, you'd be snookered.
Well, you're probably like me. You probably swear when you're in public, you know, when you're not broadcasting.
I'm not a chance, not a chance.
When you're not broadcasting.
But, yeah, you have to be, I think you have to be aware that chances are people are filming you. And those who are out and about creating mayhem, who are drunk, who are spoiling family day outs for other users of leisure facilities, they've got to catch a grip of themselves.
They do. It's a horrible thing, you know. I also think, you know, that in what we're talking about, aside from the outrageous, aside from the violent, aside from the obscene, you know, the general kind of misbehaviour that isn't all that bad, the things that we all do that would let us down if our mothers or our bosses saw it, but as part of the normal run of life. I think in a way we've lost the privacy about that. But so we have to accord some kind of indulgence to it. I mean, and I think that's true. You know, people who have a glass of wine and say something silly on Twitter, you know, they suddenly find that they're losing their job. They're being talked about in the papers. You know, I think we almost have to say, look, here's this new third space that's opened up. And it's not private, but it's not quite public either. It's not by the standards of the broadcast media. It's more like we've opened the door on the pub, you know, where people will be a bit outrageous, will occasionally lose their temper, will use language that they wouldn't use in an official or workplace, you know, environments. And I think we have to be a bit indulgent of that. I think we have to move beyond the stage where everyone who is shamed in social media is damaged by that. Because ultimately, in time, we'll all be shamed by it because we're all human. We all have that periphery of our lives within which we're not behaving just as carefully as we do when we're at work or when we're among people who that we respect and we expect decorum from us, you know.
Yeah, Malachy, I agree entirely with you. Yeah. It is ever-changing. Listen, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you.
It's a pleasure, Frank. All the best to you.
Social commentator, Malachy O'Doherty. 9:20 is the time.